Moncrief on News Talk.
You will be familiar with the term doom scrolling, and now there seems to be an offshoot of that called doom shopping. The phenomena where people buy crap they don't need, you know, because the world is shagged anyway. Oliver Brown is a lecturer in accounting in UCC. Good afternoon, Oliver.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Is there a particular age cohort you seem to indulge in this?
Yeah, it's typically more kind of Gen Zs and millennials. To be fair to people my age or more, we've been through quite a few crises in quite a short space of time, and the world looks pretty bleak for the future. So, you know, we can be forgiven for spending a bit of money on things that may be considered frivolous at times.
Yeah. Now, but is there a line past which, you know, buying the odd thing to make cheer yourself up, there's no harm in that. But is there a line past which it can be problematic?
Yeah, definitely. So the availability of credit and easy credit that would be outside normal kind of parameters now has made this kind of more of a problem than it would have always considered being. So there's two strands to this. Like normally, if a generation would have considered the future or future economics to be bleak, then we would kind of look ahead and save. Whereas this is the opposite. You know, we're looking ahead, we're seeing it bleak, so we're spending. So when we go into the potential future economic downturn, we won't have the cash saved to deal with that. The second side of it is we're having access to easy credit, particularly like buy now pay later, which is approved without any real credit check, especially in Ireland. And like, you can buy stuff relatively quickly on that, up to thousands and thousands of euro on that. So it's that ease of doing it, and that it's only a few clicks away kind of thing, is has just made this much more easy than it would have been in the past.
Yeah, I can see the temptation of the easy credit. But the sense that I don't need a rainy day fund, is that predicated on the idea that things may never get better?
Well, it's actually much, much worse, because it's not that I don't even have a rainy day credit. It's, you might have a significant amount of savings that might be for, we'll say, the deposit for a house. And you're looking at it and, you know, you're living at home. You're one of the 70% of people under 25 who are living at home. And you're like, okay, I will never be able to afford my own home. So you spend your deposit, or you spend a vast quantity of your deposit, which then you may never get back, or it's much more difficult to get around to saving that up again. So you're wealth destroying into the future to make yourself feel better about a very bleak economy at some times.
Yeah. That sounds a little nihilistic almost.
It is, you know, it's happened in the past. There's nothing kind of relatively new about it. It's just the prevalence and the kind of consideration towards it. And I think that one of the things that brought it up was really in the States. They're looking at this a couple of years ago, and, you know, everyone considers the sentiment of the market 2024, 2025, 2026 to be pretty bad, dealing with polycrisis and wars. Yet inflation is up and economic activity is up, despite job creation being down. And they kind of tracked it back to essentially this level of spending. And so they're not too concerned with stopping it at the moment, because it's keeping the economy going. But at the same time, they are conscious of the fact that when we do hit the brakes on the economy, or jobs start, you know, going away, there is no safety net.
That is interesting. And I suppose it's applicable to this country in the sense that you have a whole cohort, a whole generation who are thinking, I'm never going to be able to buy a home for myself. But they're also hearing, oh, well, the economy's never done so well. There's a complete contradiction there, obviously.
Yeah, there's definitely a generational kind of incongruence of communication around this. So people who aren't living through, like, who have their house, who have their two or three kids and have their, you know, the nuclear family and whatever, are looking at this and going like, oh, just don't buy your avocado toast, save your money, it'll all work out for you. And then a lot of the politicians in the country are saying, oh, it's turning around, it's turning a corner, it's coming. And then you have a lot of commentators would say, oh, you might never need to actually buy a home in Ireland, you could rent forever, like that there's this. And, you know, it's kind of going against what we've been told for financial advice and general advice for our whole lives, which is, you know, work hard, get a good job, save your money, eventually you'll be able to get everything. And in generations past, that applied right down to someone working on a shop floor in your average job. Now, you know, you have people in tech jobs and, you know, high paying jobs who aren't even getting that kind of level, especially in Dublin. You know, average house price is over 450,000 euro. And like, you're looking at that and you're saying, well, you know, even if the average person, a teacher or a guard or whatever, can't afford a house in Dublin and has to live all the way out in the commuter belt, it's really, you know, brings that nihilism into it, and it really hammers it home as to, you know, the hopelessness sometimes of what we face. And then yeah, and it's kind of self-reinforcing at that stage then.
Are there any particular things that doom shopping tends to purchase? Is it just like small fripperies or bigger purchases?
It depends. So it depends on how much money you have, I suppose. a lot of the things that you hear are designer goods. My favorite one, though, is Holiday of a Lifetime.
Yeah.
I have met people in the past couple of years who have been on 3 holidays of a lifetime in 5 years. And I'm like, is it really a holiday of a lifetime if you have to go away that often? So there's a lot of that. it tends to be designer goods and holidays. We're a very experience-driven country. Like, we don't have that kind of rodeo drive, buy all the designer gear and get seen in it. We live through experiences, and now through social media we live even more vicariously through those. So you like to show off your experience, which means we are exposed to more and more experiences of people, especially when we see people we know on like big holidays all the time, and we're like, oh, I want that. So, you know, it tends to lead to holidays particularly.
Yeah, indeed. Social media, one big shop window. Oliver, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Oliver Brown, a lecturer in accounting at UCC.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.